Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 7:15. I'm getting some text here about the shuttles for the Super Bowl experience, and it's $10 per rider. That's round trip. And you're going to find parking anywhere near as cheap as that. Children 12 and under ride free. The tickets are sold on site where they pick you up, and then sales are cashless. And the pickup sites are Delgado at 5018 Orleans Avenue, Delgado Community College, Oakwood behind JCPenney, 6500 Magazine Street, that's at the Audubon Nature Institute, and the old Plaza Mall in New Orleans East at 5700 Reed. So really, you could have one heck of a day if you get that shuttle starting Saturday morning. You come down for the Super Bowl parade, you see what's going on in the French Quarter, and then you hang out, check out the Super Bowl experience, and then you take the bus back, and everybody's going to be tired and happy and have fun. One other good thing about the Super Bowl is that it can draw attention to some of the things going on in Louisiana. And with that, we welcome in James Karst, Director of Communications for the Coalition to Restore Coastal Louisiana. Good morning, James. How are you?
I'm doing great, Tommy. How are you today?
I'm all right, sir. Tell me how, I guess, the big game, the Super Bowl, has drawn some attention to this.
Yeah, sure. So there is an environmental arm of the NFL called NFL Green, and they have been partnering with my organization and a number of other organizations in New Orleans as well to implement some sort of, tree planting, or in the case of our work, we put 59 tons of oyster shell into the water in Leeville and built an oyster reef with it. That's going to slow the rate of erosion there and create habitat for new oysters to grow. So, you know, they're just bringing attention to stuff like that. And to me, one of the wonderful things about it is that it helps people from other parts of the world understand that New Orleans and Louisiana are, you know, really fueled by our seafood industry and by communities that are outside of New Orleans. I love New Orleans. I live in New Orleans, but there are many other places beyond it that are really important to our culture and our future.
Governor, Landry's got a big setup with Louisiana and the importance to the nation, and it really is not in conflict with coastal restoration. Coastal restoration is a very important part of that, is it not?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There is virtually no one. I would challenge you to find a single person who wants to see Louisiana wash away. You know, everybody recognizes that if we can hold on to more of our state or as much of our state as possible, that's a good thing. That's a good thing for industry. It's a good thing for the people who live here, for communities. It's a good thing for those of us who are raising children here. And, it's energy and seafood and parades. You know, if you love New Orleans, if you love Louisiana, you want to save it.
Yeah, you know, I thought it would be interesting to ask you if you could go back just to talk about the history of erosion in Louisiana. And this is the 11th Super Bowl that we've hosted, the first one going back to the late 60s, I believe. I don't have a list open in front of me right now. Talk about how I do have it in front of me right now. As a matter of fact, first Super Bowl we hosted was in 1970. So talk about how the coastline has changed since 1970, because it seems like we've been talking about it for a long time. And how the efforts have changed to actually do something about the erosion and the loss of coastline since 1970?
Yeah, sure. That's an interesting question. You know, in 1970, there were people who were aware that coastal wetlands were vanishing. They were being converted into open water. but there wasn't a lot being done about it. So, you know, obviously we've had singular tragedies like Hurricane Katrina, Hurricane Ida, the Deepwater Horizon oil spill, and those have been really catastrophic for large swaths of wetlands. But also something that has happened since then is we got a really robust coastal program. A number of organizations, nonprofits like mine, became involved in trying to preserve our coast and trying to make the case that it is important and that it should be a government priority, that this is the kind of stuff we should be spending money trying to save. And, you know, we've seen a lot of success. You know, there's a funding mechanism. You know, these projects are funded now. They're built. They're implemented. There's a lot of engineering that goes into stuff. And then there's a lot of small stuff as well. You know, people are planting trees and, you know, there are water gardens that are cropping up all over New Orleans. There are oyster reefs. So, yeah, there's a lot of great stuff happening.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. We're talking to James Karst, who is Director of Communication with the Coalition to Restore Coastal Louisiana, about a Living Shoreline project that they're working on in NFL Green and how the Super Bowl is an opportunity to bring some awareness to the coastal restoration efforts in Louisiana, which are extremely important. And it would be, I think, shocking for you, and we'll talk to James about this, if there's anywhere where you can go and overlay a map of 1970 or even before that to where we are now and see what differences have been made or something in between even. We'll take a break for traffic now, WWL. 725 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, live on Radio Row at the Host Committee's Media Center, celebrating Big Game Week, powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith, and So-So. Our guest, James Karst, Director of Communications for the Coalition to Restore Coastal Louisiana, is in the Treasure Chest Casino virtual power seat. James, I asked you beforehand about some kind of overlay maps or anything like that. Is there any way, any site where people can go and overlay what the coastline looked like in 1970 to what it looks like now, or maybe in between, and to show how bad it got and maybe how it's getting a little bit better that you know of?
You know, a really good place to look for that kind of stuff is on the Coastal Protection and Restoration Authority website. Like, they have maps that show changes over time, and also the predicted changes going forward if we build restoration projects, as well as maps what it will look like if we do not build restoration projects. And, you know, that's always pretty striking, pretty shocking. I can tell you what those types of maps show, though. They show, you know, if you go back to, say, the 1920s or earlier, the maps are going to show wetlands that look, you know, like land. They look pretty intact. And then let's say you skip ahead to the 1960s or 1970s, the wetlands are really going to look like Swiss cheese. We'll have canals, you know, straight lines cut through them. Somebody once told me that Mother Nature doesn't make straight lines, so obviously those were made by humans. And then, you know, it depends where you're looking at specifically, but if you were to look at maps of today, I mean, there are plenty of places where there used to be land where you could stand, where now you would be swimming, you know, or snorkeling. So
one question I always get is about the sustainability of these projects, and does can a hurricane come in and wash out what you've done, and then you're back to where you started again? Talk about that, if you will, please.
Yeah, well, it kind of depends on the type of project, but yeah, absolutely. If you do a dredging project, it is going to experience subsidence. The land is going to sink. And of course, with sea level rise, water going up, it will be underwater eventually. But I look at it this way, you know, if you've got a roof on your house and you lose a few shingles, well, you put some new shingles or a new roof on there. Yeah, it could get ripped off again, but you can't do without it. So you have to do it anyway, you know. So there are other things that we can do. We can make choices that will really address the causes of the coastal land loss, but so far a lot of what has happened has dealt with the effects of it.
Let me talk about something fun that's coming up about eating oysters on Oyster Night, which is a Super Bowl event for the coast. Talk about that, if you would, please.
Yeah, so Oyster Night is today. It is a citywide in New Orleans event where restaurants are going to be serving oyster specials, including a lot of restaurants that have not historically had oysters on the menu. And the idea is to promote, well, obviously to get people into our great restaurants here in New Orleans, but also to promote our oyster industry and our seafood industry in general. And then also we'll be replenishing the shell that CRCL uses to build oyster reefs. So we expended 59 tons the other day, and so we need more shells so we can build more oyster reefs. So this is an effort to do that.
So eat oysters, you help restore the coast. How effective is it when it comes to the different efforts with specifically oyster shells and restoring oyster reefs? That seems like a, just a great win-win situation.
Yeah, it is. It's wonderful. I would say in like very targeted locations, it is extremely successful. We have measured a 50% reduction in the rate of land loss in places where we have built oyster reefs, which is really an amazing reduction in land loss. Aside from that, it also, these reefs create habitat for new oysters. So new oysters are growing on them, and then all the things that feed on oysters or that hang out there, crabs and other kinds of fish and birds, and then of course the reefs will knock down storm surge when a hurricane comes in. So they really have a number of great attributes. So yeah, we got to do more of them. Eat some oysters.
Thank you, James. I appreciate your time and your efforts. James Karras, Director of Communications for the Coalition to Restore Coastal Louisiana. I'm Tommy Tucker. We're here, Radio Row, Host Committee's Media Center, celebrating Big Game Week, powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith, and So-So. Quick break, then we're back. 7:30, time for WWL First News.